Amen. It's great to be back tonight, and just want to say once again thank you to Pastor Anderson and the whole Faith Word family for having me come to preach. And it's been a great time. It's already almost over, and going back home tomorrow. It's nice to walk outside, and the sun wasn't burning my skin off as I walked out. So I was just kind of thinking to myself, like, how do they deal with this every single day? So we got it pretty easy up in Washington when it comes to things like that. But, of course, it rains all the time there in the wintertime. So we got that to deal with. So anyway, I had a great afternoon and got a little power nap in. So I'm ready to go for 2 or 3 hours here. So anyway, I'm just kidding. But let's see, I better look at the time right now. All right. We're doing good. Is that clock right? Yeah, it is. Okay. All right. So the title of my sermon tonight is The Scorner. The Scorner. Let's look down at verse number 22 there. Well, the Bible reads, "How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity, and the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge?" Now, I've never preached about this topic before. I don't think I've ever heard a sermon about this topic before, but the scorner is a certain type of person in the Bible, and it's tied to basically people that like to run their mouth. And they can be very dangerous people to be around, because at some point judgment's going to come against people like this. Now, I believe that a lot of times when it's talking about people that are scorners, they are unsaved. And I think that people that are saved could be scorners too. And you know, this sermon is basically designed for helping people to determine what a scorner is, first of all, because it's not a word that we use a lot in our modern vernacular. And, you know, to just help us to discern how to deal with someone that is a scorner and how to help those people that are scorners to stop doing it, and just some advice about dealing with scornful people. So I'll just get in with a definition here. A scorner is an arrogant and opinionated person who resents correction. They don't like to be corrected. They like to be to give their opinion to anybody that wants to listen to it. They despise authority or show contempt for those trying to teach or warn them. That's what a scorner is. And scornful behavior is scornful people refuse to learn anything from those who disagree with them. They feel like they're right, they do not want to listen to what the other side has to say about anything. Their language is laced with disdain, mockery, and sarcasm towards their opponents. Respect all but disappears. They have open dislike or disrespect or mockery, often mixed with indignation, an expression of contempt or derision, an object of extreme disdain, contempt or derision, something contemptible. They just are, you know, a lot of it is mocking with their mouth, and they are not very nice people in a lot of respects. So other aspects about them is they're unteachable. They refuse to listen to others and learn from those who disagree with them. I already kind of mentioned that, but they're arrogant. A lot of times scorners are arrogant. They lack wisdom to make up for it with arrogance, pride, haughty attitudes. They're spiteful, and they communicate spite towards their opponents using language laced with disdain, mockery, or sarcasm, or vitriol. Spite basically means this. It means deliberately hurt or annoy or offend people. So they do these types of things on purpose, and they like doing it. Look at what verse 22 says again. It says, the scorners delight in their scorning. You see that? So it's not that they just have some kind of problem that needs to be fixed. They actually like being this way. They like scorning. They like, and it says, and fools hate knowledge. So it ties it in with being a fool in a lot of ways. So they're also capable of causing a lot of problems in people's lives. They cause strife and contention and cause troubles who try to show them the truth or try to correct them. So that kind of just explains a little bit about what scornful people are or scorners are. So number one tonight, I have 4 points in my sermon tonight. The first point is the spitefulness of the scornful. The spitefulness of the scornful. This is kind of basically how the scorners operate. Number one, in verse 22 again, it says, "How long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity, and the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Again, they like being that way. They like being a scorner. And so if someone likes being a certain way that they're not supposed to be, it's going to be hard to get them off of that. And, you know, for someone to have that kind of an attitude where they just like mocking people. Have you ever heard that term or read that term in the Bible? I'm sure you have, because it's there often. They laughed him to scorn. When Jesus is going to raise that girl from the dead, and they're like, they know that she's dead, so they laugh him to scorn. That term is used in the Bible multiple times. If you just look it up, if you just look up the word scorn, it says it multiple times in the Bible. And so that's when someone's mocking someone by laughing at them, and they and the term is they laughed him to scorn. Turn to Proverbs chapter 21, verse 23. Proverbs 21:23. And what I love about the Proverbs is that it tells you the problem, and then it also, a lot of times the proverb tells you how to fix it, or the opposite of what that person is. Look at Proverbs 21:23. It says, "Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles." There's the positive, right? Verse 24, "Proud and haughty scorner is his name, who dealeth in proud wrath." So that's the opposite of that. The one that keeps their mouth is, you know, they're keeping their soul, they're keeping their tongue from troubles. They're keeping themselves from troubles. But the proud, it says, proud and haughty scorner is his name. So who wants to be called that? God hates pride. God hates haughtiness within his people, or just with people in general. It says, who dealeth with proud wrath. So what is pride? What is being proud? Well, having or showing a high, excessively high opinion of oneself or one's importance. You know, the devil has a lot of pride. God hates pride. You know, we have all these flamers out there that love to have their Pride Month. I'm pretty sure they won't be happy until it's Pride Year, or every day we have to celebrate their abomination. But pride is something that God hates extremely, and haughtiness is blatant and disdainful pride, having or showing an attitude of superiority and contempt for people or things perceived to be inferior. So haughtiness is pride, but it's like blatantly disdainful. It's like, I'm better than you. And it could even be like people that are rich or in positions of power, or they just feel like they're better than that other person. So God really hates that. If you look at the word haughty in the Bible, a lot of times God has wrath coming down on people because of this type of attitude. So someone who is haughty is arrogant and full of pride. And when you're haughty, you have this big attitude and act like you're better than other people. So the haughty people are disdainful, overbearing, prideful. Swaggering means arrogant in an aggressive way, and obnoxious. Who likes to deal with people that are obnoxious? I don't like people that are obnoxious, but they're just aggressive and overbearing, prideful. They think they're right all the time. And so proud wrath, I mean, it's obviously not one word, it's two words. Proud wrath. Wrath is defined as a strong, vengeful anger. And wrath isn't always a good thing. God's wrath is always right. But man's wrath isn't always right. And so it also means punishment for a crime. So pride can manifest itself in many ways, and including outbursts of anger or rage. So when you're proud, your pride takes over or whatever, you can freak out and rage out, right? So over the top and self-justified is what I would consider proud rage. It's over the top, it's self-justified, you don't apologize for it. You know, you don't apologize for the fact that you did it, that you were wrathful, and, you know, you have no apology for the harshness of how you put something. You know, and so none of what the Bible is explaining in these verses so far is good, is it? No, this attitude, this way of being is not good. It's wicked, right? It's a wicked attitude. It's a wicked way to be. And you notice that most of it is dealing with how people talk to other people. That's what most of it is. This is the scorner. Proverbs chapter 24. Go ahead and turn to Proverbs chapter 24. Proverbs Look at verse number 7. The Bible says, wisdom is too high for a fool. He openeth not his mouth in the gate. He that deviseth to do evil shall be called a mischievous person. The thought of foolishness is sin. We like that verse, and we like to explain that verse to people. And it says, and the scorner is an abomination to men. So this is a type of person that people don't like. See, people, there will be people that hang out with scorners because it's funny to crack jokes on people and rip on people and all this other stuff. To some people, they like hanging out with someone like that. But nobody really likes them in reality. Nobody really likes the scorner. Why would the Bible say the scorner is an abomination to men? Because in reality, nobody really likes them. That's what the reality is of it. And so we as Christians should not want to hang around people that are scorners, that scorn people, that mock people all the time and have ridicule for other people. Now, of course, an abomination is a thing that causes disgust or hatred. And so, you know, that's what people think of scorners. Look at Isaiah chapter 29. Isaiah chapter 29. Isaiah 29, verse 20, the Bible says, for the terrible one is brought to naught, and the scorner is consumed. How does God feel about it? Well, he eventually is going to consume them. There's judgment is going to come because of the things that they say and do. And it says, and all that watch for iniquity are cut off. And so it kind of explains a little further what they're like. All that watch for iniquity are cut off. They're just watching for someone to do something that they shouldn't be doing. And it says that make a man an offender for a word. So this is another thing that scorners like to do, is they like to just catch one word that you shouldn't have said or something that you said wrong or whatever, so that they can what? Mock you for that, make fun of you for that, laugh you to scorn for that. And it says, and lay a snare for him that reproveth in the gate. Who are the people known to be reprovers in the gate? The wise men, the righteous men, in general in the Bible, are the ones that would sit at the gate, the ones that had wisdom and right judgment. So it says, lay a snare for him that reproveth at the gate. For the good people, right? Turn aside the just for a thing of naught. So what is naught? Nothing. They just like to turn aside just for no reason. This is the attitude and the way of the scorner. Look at Proverbs 29, verse 8. Proverbs 29, verse 8. The Bible actually has a lot to say about the scorner and the scornful people in the Bible. Proverbs 29, verse 8. Proverbs 29, verse 8. The Bible says, scornful men bring a city into a snare, but wise men turn away wrath. I was thinking about this verse. I was just thinking, well, how do scornful men bring a city into a snare? Well, because scorners are always fighting with people. Scorners are always talking crap about people. And I would imagine if you have a bunch of scornful men in a city, that they're going to cause problems with other people, and then people are going to want to fight with them. And, you know, people think that they can just run their mouth all the time and nothing's ever going to happen to them, but that's not true. A lot of times when people just say whatever they want, they are met with violence. Whether that's right or wrong, it's just the truth. Look at verse 9. It says, if a wise man contendeth with a foolish man, whether he rage or laugh, there is no rest. So it's not a wise thing for a wise man to contend with a foolish man, which is you know, kind of connecting it to verse 8 with the scornful man. The bloodthirsty hate the upright, but the just seek his soul. A fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it till afterwards. Now, this is a very important verse also, because we shouldn't just go around saying whatever comes to our mind. We should, you know, people say, well, that person doesn't have a filter. Well, you know, that's not good. It's not good to say, well, I just don't have a filter. I can't help myself. That's not right. As a Christian, that's not right to do. You know, and it's not right for just general people in society, but people don't have, we are kind of living in a time where people don't have filters. In professional settings, you know, we should just not talk a certain way, but yet, you know, the standards have dropped pretty low, haven't they? But the Bible says a fool uttereth all his mind. So as Christians, we should just realize that, you know, if we're uttering everything that comes into our mind, then we're a fool. And we don't want to be considered fools, do we? It says, but a wise man keep it until afterward. We think about what we're going to say, and then we say it. And maybe you just think about what you're going to say, and maybe you just shouldn't say it. But if, you know, I call someone that just utters everything in their mind, and I'm not original to this idea, but I call it diarrhea of the mouth. Whatever comes to mind, they just say it without filter to others, and it's a stupid way to live your life. And eventually, it's going to get you into trouble. It's going to get you into trouble, whether that's physical trouble or whether it's just trouble by reprimand at work or anything by your parents, kids. You know what happens when you say something foolish in front of your parents and kids, you know, foolish is bound in the heart of a child. And sometimes kids say whatever comes in their mind, and that's why they get the paddle, right? So, but we should have a filter. We should have, you know, a muzzle on our mouth from time to time and not just say everything that we think. Proverbs chapter 19. Look at Proverbs chapter 19. And I'm not like advocating that, like, just because somebody says something that we should hit them. I'm not saying that. But God does say it, actually. He's not saying that we should do it, and I'm not advocating that either, okay? I'm not saying that. But, you know, one of the punishments in the Old Testament was to be publicly punished. Look what it says in verse 25. It says, smite the scorner and the simple will beware. So in society, when these types of people would get out of control, apparently smiting that person would make simple people, the people that really, you know, aren't the sharpest knives in the drawer or whatever, it would make them beware. Just like any kind of punishment of any criminal is going to make people beware. And that's why crime is rampant now. And hopefully that's going to change at some point, but, you know, you just don't know. I mean, it got pretty bad there during the COVID years, didn't it? It says, and reprove one that hath understanding, and he will understand knowledge. He that wasteth his father and chaseth away his mother is a son that causeth shame and bringeth reproach. Kids, hey, you better honor and love your parents and not chase them away from your love. And, you know, just cause them grief all the time. It says, cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causeth to err from the words of knowledge. So this is an instruction to children and to sons and daughters also. To hear the instruction that causeth, cease to hear the instruction that causeth to err from the words of knowledge. Hey, whatever you're listening to, whatever junk you're listening to that's telling you the opposite of what God is trying to tell you, you should get rid of that garbage. And today we live in a day where podcasting is really popular, and I'm not saying don't listen to podcasting, but, you know, Andrew Tate and all these supposed alpha male podcasters, you know, anybody with a microphone and a camera now is a social media influencer. You know, but you should be aware of who's influencing you, because if they're, you know, causing you to err from the words of knowledge, then you should quit listening to them. I mean, you can gain certain knowledge from anybody, but who should you be getting your knowledge from? The Lord and wise men. And, you know, I'm not saying that you just only have to listen to preaching 24/7. I'm not saying that at all, but you should be aware of who you're listening to and who's causing you to influence your thinking of what you're doing. And if that's causing you to shame your parents or shame your family members or be ashamed of your church, then you should get out of that garbage. Look what it says in verse 28. An ungodly witness scorneth judgment, and the mouth of the wicked devoureth iniquity. Judgments are prepared for scorners, and stripes for the backs of fools. See how it's talking about like a public judgment that would take place? Now, we don't really have these public judgments. It's just too, you know, it's too scary to have people get publicly judged. But, you know, there was a time when people would get publicly judged, and it did make people, you know, fear these types of punishments. You know, if they would bring back caning and these types of punishments, then, you know, people would be a lot less likely to commit crime. You know, but what's the Bible saying here? Scorners got it coming, and they're not going to escape the judgment that's coming towards them. Look at Proverbs 21, verse number 11. Proverbs 21, verse number 11. The Bible says, when the scorner is punished, the simple is made wise. See, another verse showing that when, you know, they're going to have something's coming to them. If you're going to continue to just be a scorner, then something is going to happen. They're going to get punished. And it says, and when the wise is instructed, he receiveth knowledge. The righteous man wisely considereth the house of the wicked. See, we as Christians, we should look and see what some wicked person is causing in their life and their family, and consider that, not consider that we should be like them, but consider that we should not be like them. It says, but God overthroweth the wicked for their wickedness. God is going to overthrow that family and overthrow that man or whoever it is that's the scorner. And, you know, we should steer and give them a wide berth in our lives. Because every family has one. Every church has one. Every work site has one that we have to deal with these types of people. Who, I mean, in the workforce, we have to deal with these types of guys a lot. You know, in construction is a heavy scorner industry. I mean, you got some pretty nasty guys out there, and they love to just throw out, you know, insults and everything, give you the hurt feelings report. Who's ever gotten the hurt feelings report? Anybody? All right, nobody knows what I'm talking about. Okay, don't read the hurt feelings report online. It's kind of offensive, but I got one before, and it was I was offended. But it's just like guys hazing other guys, you know, so it's kind of, it's scornful. So, but look at Proverbs 3:34. Proverbs 3:34. Notice it's a lot of Proverbs. It's, you know, the Proverbs is a book of wisdom. It's trying to help us and help us to steer clear and to see the end of the scornful. It says, surely the scorner, he scorneth the scorners. Who's he? Well, God. Surely he scorneth the scorners. But he giveth grace unto the lowly. So, you know, what is that telling you? Well, there's other verses that you know, he gives grace to the lowly. So these scornful people are prideful, aren't they? They're haughty. And so God's kind of given us a contrast here. Don't be like them, because they're prideful, they're proud, they're haughty. They're people we should avoid. And they cause trouble. So number two tonight, stop trying to change the scorner. Stop trying to change the scorner. You're like, why? You know, we should help people. I agree. I agree with that. But look at Proverbs chapter 9. Proverbs chapter 9. The problem with trying to change the scorner is that they don't want to change. You know that, what is it like, you can't get help unless you want to help yourself type of thing? You know, when people, you got to hit rock bottom. You know, the scorner has to hit rock bottom. They have to realize that they got problems or something, because they're not going to listen to what you have to say. Look at Proverbs 9:7. It says, he that reproveth a scorner getteth himself ashamed. It's like, you shouldn't be, it's not because you should be ashamed for trying to help them. It's that, and he that rebuketh a wicked man getteth himself a blot. What does that mean? A mark. Like, once you go after someone that's a scorner, then they zero in on you, and then you become the person that they want to go after next. And so if you don't want to be that person, then don't reprove them. And what is reproving? It's telling somebody that they're wrong. Hey, quit being a scorner. Quit being wicked. Quit talking crap to people all the time. Quit mocking people and laughing at people all the time, or whatever it is that they're doing. And in verse 8 it says, reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. So do you want them to hate you too? Well, they're already mocking everybody else and causing problems with other people. When you reprove them and say, hey, why are you doing that? You know, because part of what they do is bullying people. It's verbal bullying. It says, lest they hate thee. If you don't want them to hate you and you don't want to be the ire of their next attack, then don't reprove them. It says, rebuke a wise man and he will love thee. See, that's how you know the difference between a wise man and someone that's a scorner or someone that's a fool. And this is, you know, this is something that you've been taught probably a lot, that, You know, and this is the thing about being a pastor. Sometimes you rebuke people. The Bible says we're supposed to reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. So when someone can't take a rebuke or a reproof, then you know what kind of person you're dealing with. It's someone that's too proud to receive correction. They're too proud to receive instruction. They get all upset. You know, and sometimes you do get upset, but as long as you receive the correction at some point, you know, maybe at first you bristle and you get upset when you feel like you're being rebuked from preaching or whatever, but the end result should be that you take that, internalize it, and fix your problem. Because it's not like, the Bible commands preachers to get up and do that. We're supposed to preach the word. And, you know, eventually your problem's going to get preached about. What you're doing gets preached about. And it's not like we're just zeroing in on people. Hey, I think I'll preach against so-and-so this week. You know, even though sometimes we might, I don't know. But, sometimes you got to deal with the problems that are going on too. But we are supposed to do that. So when a pastor or, you know, even just a brother in Christ just reproves somebody and they can't handle the reproof, then you know what you're dealing with. So this is the thing. If you know someone is already like this, then don't keep trying to reprove them. Because if they can't handle it the first time, then why keep going to them? Because it says, reprove not a scorner, lest you get yourself ashamed. You know, just avoid them is what I would say. But that's my next point, so I don't want to get into blurring the lines here. So let's see, where was I at? Give instruction to, verse number 9. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, he will increase learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. For by me thy days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased. See, the opposite of being the scornful is being a wise man and increasing your learning, taking in that rebuke, taking in that reproof, whether it's by a brother or sister in Christ, or whether it's from the preaching of God's word, or whether it's from this book right here that you're reading that you should be reading every day. You should be able to take correction. And in Proverbs 1, what is that first chapter really nailing down? You can't receive correction. You won't receive instruction. You're being a fool. And because you have not chosen the fear of the Lord, then this is why I'm going to laugh at you when your calamity comes. That's why I'm going to come down on you like a ton of bricks. And you're going to be crying. You're going to be whining. You're going to be calling upon me. But I'm not going to hear. See, there comes a point when it's too late for people. And really, that is kind of teaching the reprobate doctrine in the Old Testament, if you will. But, you know, there also is a time in Christians' lives where you can push God so far, not that he's going to give you up, but that he's just going to, the hammer's going to come down on you. And he is going to judge you. And it's going to be severe. He does judge his people. The Bible says that. The Lord shall judge his people. Right? So we have to be aware of that. Look at Proverbs chapter 13. Proverbs chapter 13. So stop trying to change a scorner. Once you have identified that that's what you're dealing with, stop trying to change. Look at Proverbs 13, verse 1. The Bible says, a wise man heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. So here's another verse. So I'm not just, you know, up here just using one verse. This verse here tells the same thing. They don't hear it. So if they're not hearing it, then why do you keep doing it? You know, if the person's a scorner, just leave them alone. A man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth, but the soul of the transgressors shall eat violence. There's again God calling for violence against them. Because what? It's not because they're doing violence, it's because they won't shut their big mouths, right? He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life. See, I mean, that saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but God will hurt you. That's the real truth about it. But he that open wide his lips shall have destruction. See, the things that are said against God and the things that are said against God's people, there is a reckoning from that. There is a reckoning. So again, saying whatever comes into your mouth, into your brain, and spewing that out with diarrhea of the mouth is not a wise idea. Because God will make you eat your words. But How he does that, I'm not sure how he's going to do that, but it sounds like it says violence. The soul of the transgressors shall eat violence. He that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. So, you know, those people that just want to keep running their mouth and bumping their gums, one day someone's going to shut their mouth for them. And it's going to be of the Lord. But, you know, a lot of people just like to, you know, talk about how tough they are and how much karate. When I was in the 80s, ninja movies were like a really big thing. Who was around in the 80s when ninja movies? And, you know, people would say, well, karate was a big thing. And karate is like one of the lamest fighting sports of all time. In reality, I'm sorry, it is. It's not really effective in the octagon, okay? Let's just be honest. But it was kind of a big deal. Like if people would, you know, they would talk tough, and then, you know, when it came down to fighting, like on the playground or something, or at school, you know, people would just like get in these stances. And they'd pretend like they knew some, you know, what? You know, they would pretend like they knew karate or kung fu or something. Because eventually your talk is cheap and someone's going to call you out on it. And then, you know, a lot of karate people got their butts kicked because people called their karate bluff. So, but envy and strife are what the scorners produce, and they reap what they sow in the end. So, and you know, I'm not mistaken here. A lot of what's being the punishment and the doles that God's going to give out to them are because of their mouth, isn't it? Isn't it what the Bible's saying? Now, number three is stay away from the scornful. Just stay away from them. So we don't want to rebuke them. Once you identify that they're scornful, and maybe you've said something to them once before and they mocked you to scorn, or they laughed you to scorn or whatever they've done, then you know what they are. So stay away from them. Look at Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter number 1. The Bible says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. So, what does that mean? We don't want to hang around people that are ungodly. Nor standeth in the way of sinners. Well, Jesus hung out with the sinners. But this is talking about hanging out with them. Like literally hanging out with people that are sinners all the time. Nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. So, hang around, sitting, eating, whatever you're doing with them. All three of these things are bad to do, right? It's not, you're blessed if you don't walk with them. You're blessed if you don't sit with them. You're blessed if you don't stand with them. So what is the Bible saying in Psalm chapter 1? Don't be around them. But it says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. So there's your fix. Stay away from those types of people and stay with the Lord. Stay with God's teachings. Stay with God's people. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 6. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 6. Actually, I'll read that. Go to Proverbs 14. Proverbs 9, 6 says, forsake the foolish and live, and go in the way of understanding. See, the friends that you keep are going to influence you. So if you're influenced by people that are not good people to hang around, and you think, oh, that's not going to influence me. You are who you hang around. This is true. So young people, when your parents are trying to keep you away from certain people, it's not because they're mad at you or they don't like that person necessarily. It's because they want to help you to not become like that person is. They don't like the influence. And people will influence you, especially people that have like negative things going on in their lives. Or they are a negative person, or they're a scornful person, and that person will rub off on you. You're not going to change them. They're going to change you. And, you know, we need to avoid it. The Bible's teaching here to avoid the scornful, right? Look at Proverbs 14, 6, where I had you turn. It says, a scorner seeketh wisdom and findeth it not, but knowledge is easy unto him that understandeth. Go from the presence of a foolish man, when thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit. So what is the Bible saying here? A scorner seeks wisdom and they find it not. You know why? Because they think they know everything already. They're looking for it in the wrong places. They're not finding it because they're not looking for it in the right spot. They're not looking for it. They don't care about true knowledge. They're not finding it. It says, but knowledge is easy to him that understandeth. And it says, go from the presence of a foolish man when thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge. You've probably read that verse or heard that verse preached a lot of times, but do you practice it? Do you stay away from people like that? That's you know, where the rubber meets the road. Turn to Proverbs 22, verse 10. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 10. So it already said to not to sit with them and to depart from those people that don't have the lips of knowledge, these scorners that seek wisdom, but they can't find it. And here in Proverbs 22:10, it says, cast out the scorner, and contention shall go out. Yea, strife and reproach shall cease. Now, this isn't in 1 Corinthians 5:9, or in 1 Corinthians 5. It's not in that passage of kicking people out. But I'm sure that the scorner can be a railer. I'm sure that the scorner can be one of the things, but the Bible's just saying that if someone's a scorner, just get them away from you and the fighting's going to stop. So what does this tell you about the scorner? The scorner likes to fight. It says contention shall go out. Yea, strife and reproach shall cease. So if you get the scorner away from you, you get away from that person or you get them away from you somehow, some way, then that is going to stop. The fighting stops. So that's something that we should strive towards, to keep away from people like that. And number four, stop being a scorner. And this might be advice that's not going to get taken. So if you are the scorner, stop being the scorner. But I just said that I shouldn't reprove them. But maybe there's some kind of inkling that they might actually listen. And, you know, this part's for you, scorner. But turn to Proverbs 9. Verse 12, Proverbs 9, 12. The Bible says in Proverbs 9, 12, it says, if thou be wise, thou shalt be wise for thyself. But if thou scornest, thou alone shalt bear it. If you're a scorner, you are the one that has to deal with the consequences of your actions. Others will have to deal with the effects or the fallout or whatever your big mouth and bad attitude has gotten you into trouble this time, but you're the one that has to deal with the direct consequences of it. It says, thou alone shall bear it. So be wise. Be wise for yourself. Stop doing it. Stop being a scorner. You're like, I'm not going to listen to you. You're not even defining scorner right. Okay, scorner. Proverbs chapter 26, verse 12. I knew you wouldn't listen. Proverbs chapter 26, verse 12. Seest thou a man wise in his own conceit? There is more hope of a fool than of him. And fools are generally talked about as being unsaved, right? That's usually what the application is in the Bible, is a fool or a stupid person. But someone that's more wise in their own conceit is, there's more hope of a fool than him. That's pretty bad, right? But there is hope. It's bleak, but it's there. there is some hope. So you're saying there's a chance, right? And I would just say this, if you're a scorner and you are saved, then God can help you get past this fault and this attitude problem that you have and this mindset. It is a faulty mindset. And it affects the youth, I think, a lot more than it would, like, maybe a more mature Christian or an older person, because, you know, you get all that, I don't know. The youth, I'm not trying to bag on the youth. The youth are great. But sometimes they kind of get a little misdirected with this kind of stuff and wanting to hang around some of the bad kids or whatever. But, you know, we just got to be careful about that. And you should, you know, teenagers kind of lose that after they grow up a little bit. But, you know, you hang around the wrong person, they could take you down a bad path, and you just don't want to do that. So turn to Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10. This has been like the Proverbs study here. Proverbs chapter 10. But again, it's going to give you wisdom, isn't it? Amen. Proverbs chapter 10. So, and I'm talking about young in the faith also, not just young people. People that are young in the faith can get like this. So, Proverbs chapter 10, verse 17 says, "He is in the way of life that keepeth instruction, but he that refuseth reproof erreth. He that hideth hatred with his lips, and he that uttereth a slander is a fool. In the multitude of words there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise." So, again, talking about things that are wise. Just shut your lips, and that will help you out a lot. Proverbs 18, verse 5. Proverbs 18, verse 5. "It is not good to accept the person of the wicked, to overthrow the righteous in judgment. A fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calleth for stroke." So there again is the God's call to violence. You know, he's not calling for violence, but he's just saying that when people run their mouth, that the Bible says his mouth calleth for strokes. What does that mean? Well, what is strokes? It means getting hit, getting struck, right? Strokes, struck, right? So when people, you know, I'm sure you've seen lots of videos where someone just like, they're just running their mouth and all of a sudden someone just like, just drops them, right? And it's because they don't know when to shut up. It says, a fool's mouth is his destruction and his lips are the snare of his soul. And you just can't say whatever you want. Your big mouth is your own worst enemy. It really is. And saying whatever you want, again, not the best policy. You're like, "Well, I just keep it real. That's just how I am." Well, keeping it real can go horribly wrong. Mocking the wrong people can cause you to have a really bad day. Turn to 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 23. Now, this is a time when a bunch of little scorners come out against Elisha the prophet. And he's just become the prophet in Elijah's room, received the mantle. He's already done a couple cool miracles. And he's heading up to Bethel. And apparently, he's got a unique look to him. And the Bible describes one part about him that we've discovered here because someone's making fun of him. It says, "And he went up from," verse 23, "and he went up from thence unto Bethel, and he was going up by the way. There came forth little children out of the city and mocked him and said unto him, Go up, thou bald head. Go up, thou bald head." Now, Elijah went up in the chariot, right? So I'm sure that people know the story by now. They knew what happened. And what are they doing? Well, they're making fun of him because he's bald. They're mocking him because he's bald. And, you know, when you look at, like, what the modern scholars will do to this story, they get really upset because it says little children right here. Now, I'm not thinking that these are little children that are 2 or 3 years old, okay? Toddlers didn't come out of the city to come and say, "Go up the ball head," you know. They weren't doing that, okay? But modern scholars will, I'm just going to read you a little bit of a commentary that I found. There's some other really stupid articles that I saw, but I just didn't want to take the time to vex you with those things. But they love to attack the Greek or the Hebrew here. It says, "Little children is an unfortunate translation, raising quite a wrong idea of the tender age of the person spoken. On the other hand, Bishop Patrick," I don't know who Bishop Patrick is, "Bishop Patrick's assertion," sounds like, I don't know. Anyway, "Bishop Patrick's assertion that the words are to be understood of adult persons who had a hatred to the prophet is quite untenable. Narim Ketanim," I'm probably butchering the way that's pronounced, "would be best," that's probably the Greek, or I mean the Hebrew word there, or two Hebrew words, "would be best translated as by our revisers in the margin, young lads. So in the revised version, it does say young lads instead of little children. Boys, that is, from 12 to 15. Such, now this is where I think it's just weird that the guy just goes off on this weird little tangent of things that there's no way the Bible doesn't say any of this. But anyway, such mischievous use are among the chief nuisances of Oriental towns. They waylay the traveler, deride him, jeer him, are keen to remark any personal defect that he may have, and merciless in flouting it, they dog his steps, shout out their rude remarks, and sometimes proceed from abusive words to violent acts, as the throwing of sticks and stones or mud. On the occasion, they only got as far as rude words. It's like, what is he just like describing all these Oriental towns in history? Or I don't know where he's getting this from, but maybe it's from the Kabbalah or something. I have no idea. But a lot of modern commentary or modern versions will attack the saying of little children. Now, it probably isn't old. It is not older men because the King James is right, of course. It's not, but little children, I'm doubting it's toddlers. So it's probably like, you know, it could be children from the ages of 8 to, you know, maybe it is 8 to 15. I don't know. The Bible doesn't say, but it does say little children, okay? Now, I wanted to read the modern translations, quote unquote, modern translations, what they do with these verses. The NIV says, from there, Elisha went up to Bethel, and he was walking along the road. Some boys came out of the town and jeered at him. Get out of here, Baldy, they said. Get out of here, Baldy. The New King James Version says, then he went up from there to Bethel, and as he was going up the road, some youths came from the city and mocked him and said to him, go up, you bald head. Go up, you bald head. The NASB, 1995, says, then he went up from there to Bethel, and as he was going up by the way, young lads, see there's the young lads, came out from the city and mocked him and said, go up, you bald head. Go up, you bald head. The Holman Christian Standard Bible says, from there Elisha went up to Bethel. As he was walking up the path, some small boys came out of the city and harassed him, chanting, go up, Baldy! Go up, Baldy! They're chanting. Maybe they were doing that, I don't know. Good, good news translation. Elisha left Jericho to go to Bethel, and on the way, some boys came out of a town and made fun of him. Get out of here, Baldy, they shouted. So that's the modern translations, okay? But a long time, well, my dad had a friend, his name was Mike, and he had some kind of condition. I'm not sure what the condition was. I didn't have a chance to talk to him about it, but his name was Mike. And I'm not sure what the condition was, but he was bald from the time he was born. He never had hair. I was trying to look up the conditions, but there's several ones that you could lose your hair from. But he was teased very terribly as a child. And even my dad would tease him, like, you know, what a good friend, right? But guess what they teased and what they called him? Baldy, right? So over something that he can't help, right? So these kids, you know, they are like the scorner, aren't they? They're, you know, and it doesn't matter how old they were. And the modern translators, they want to say, well, they were young men. What difference does it make how old they were? It's what they were doing. It's what they were saying that was wrong. And what they were saying and what they were doing was they were mocking a man of God because he was bald. I don't know if he had like the, you know, just the receding one, that, you know, half, he's bald all the way to here or whatever. Maybe he was completely bald. I don't know. But as a young boy, I remember seeing this guy, Mike, and I remember thinking, because back then, like, people didn't do the, hey, if you're a little bit balding, you just shave your head all the way off. That kind of became like a look in like the 2000s, right? So, but I remember seeing him, and I kind of have this memory of asking about, you know, what's wrong with him or whatever. But I was a little kid. But I wasn't making fun of him. I just didn't, you know, I'd never seen anybody bald like that before, I guess. But I'm guessing that this guy probably had to deal with this every single day of his life. And the reason why I'm explaining this is because people can't help how they look sometimes. And for people to just relentlessly tease someone over being bald is just, it's cruel. And, you know, what difference does it make if someone's bald or not? Like, is that really a big deal now? Oh, you're balding. Like, people get, like, super expensive toupees and hair weaves and Rogaine and all these different things to try to stop themselves from balding because society says that it's just not cool to be bald or something. Like, maybe you just don't look as good bald. I don't know. Whatever. But why does that matter? What difference does it make? But it's normal now to see people that are completely, you know, have their head shaved or whatever. I just don't understand why people do the wigs and all that stuff. But you know why? It's probably because people are scorners. People are jerks about it. And, you know, it's just the way people are. But God forbid that we should be like that as Christians and tease people over their looks and so on and so forth. So this man of God got teased over the fact that he was bald. And what happens in verse 24? And he turned back and looked on them and cursed them in the name of the Lord. And there came forth two she-bears out of the wood and tare 42 children of them. So what's the moral of the story here? Regardless of how old you are, you're accountable for the things that you say. That's the moral of the story. And I'm not changing to what the modern Bible perverters want to say, that it's older, it's young lads. Even if it was like 12 to 15-year-old people, it's still not right. It's still not right what they did. They're mocking the man of God. They're teasing him over something he can't help. And the moral of the story is, don't do that. Because, you know, the bears might come out of the woods. There's no bear around here. But with God, all things are possible. You never know. The Bible says, touch not my anointed or do my prophets no harm. Now, all of us are anointed by the Holy Spirit of God. We have an unction from the Holy One. But the Bible also says not to rebuke an elder, but entreat him as a father. You know, the Bible's clear about these things. God's people ought to be different. We shouldn't be go around mocking God's people, mocking God's men, and professing Christians definitely should not, you know, especially independent Baptists, independent fundamental Baptists, independent fundamental King James only Baptists, independent fundamental King James only soul winning Baptists, independent fundamental King James only soul winning new IFB Baptists. Like, we should know better. We have a responsibility to do what's right. And we have been given a lot of preaching on these types of subjects. And I'll just say this, if you don't have to like me, but you better love me. I'm saved. So you don't have to like me, you don't have to like my preaching style, I don't have to like you, but I better love you. That's what the Bible teaches. Turn to 1 John chapter 4. So, and all of us are probably guilty of saying things about somebody that we shouldn't have said, or teasing somebody's looks or something like that. I'm not trying to sit up here on a high horse and act like I've never done it before. Everybody probably has. We all fall short, right? But it just shouldn't be our general attitude that we have all the time to just mock people, make fun of them, be a scorner. Look at 1 John 4:20. It says, If a man say I love God and hateth his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. I mean, this is like the glue that binds us together. You know, we love God first, and we love our brother, we love our neighbor. These are the greatest commandments in the Bible. These are the things we should be doing, not the things we should be lacking in. Look at John chapter 13. John chapter 13. John chapter number 13. The Bible says, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one to another." How do people know that we're Jesus' disciples? It's by how we love the brethren, right? Isn't that what it says? Not how we scorn them, not how we treat them rough, but how we love them. And that's how men will know. Well, what about all the soul winning I do? Is that what it says? What about me going to church three times a week? Is that what it says? Those are good things. But it's how we treat each other, how we love the brethren. Look, we should love each other as Christians. We all have shortcomings. We all have problems. We all have something funny on us that looks weird. I'm sure. We all have some defect. Nobody in here looks perfect. There's nobody that's a perfect 10 in here in any aspect of your body or shape or anything like that. Nobody's a perfect 10. So we shouldn't be going around making fun of how people look. It's just wrong. Turn to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. It's the last place I'll have to turn. We'll be done. James chapter 4. The Bible says, "From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lust that war in your members? You lust and you have not, you kill and desire to have, you cannot obtain, you fight and war, yet you have not because you ask not. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit dwelleth in us, lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble." Really, what's encapsulating this whole sermon is the difference between being proud and being humble. The scorner is proud. But if you want to have grace, you know, turn from being a scorner and be a humble person. Be a humble servant of the Lord. "Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." And, you know, when you're not submitted to God, you're given over to the flesh, and that's where Satan loves to come and touch. That's where he loves to tempt us and to get us doing things that we ought not to do. So the more submitted to God we are, the better off we're going to be. Look what it says, "Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you." So we take the first step, He comes to us. He draws us to him. "Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness." You know, everything's not a big joke, but it is to scorners. They love to laugh people to scorn. They love to mock people. But everything's not one big joke. Don't be double-minded. You know, be of one mind. Be single-minded. That's what the Bible teaches us to be like. Don't be one person, one place, and a different person someplace else. Don't put on a front. "Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up." So when we're humble, God is going to give us grace. And so for the scorner, I would just say this: hey, just humble yourself. You know, stop being a scorner. The Bible says in verse 11, "Speak not evil one another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. Therefore is one there is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another?" So, and really that's what it all boils down to. You know, don't speak evil of another. Brethren. Are we brethren? Well, don't speak evil of each other. So, number one, we saw the spitefulness of the scornful. They cause problems with their mouths. That's the main thing that they do. Number two, stop trying to change the scorner. They're too proud and haughty to take the correction. Number three, stay away from the scornful. Once you have identified them as a scorner, stay away from them and cast them out from your presence. Number four, stop being a scorner if you are one. And if you are one and you have enough humility to realize it, change, repent, get it right, go to God, get it right with Him, and go to the people you've wronged. It's really that simple. And you can change. You don't have to be a scorner for the rest of your life. And God will be very pleased with you. And people will be a lot more pleased to be around with you. And they won't think you're an abomination. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for the clear teachings in the book of Proverbs and Psalms. And Lord, the wisdom of the book of James. Pray, Lord, that you'd help us to be more loving to our brethren, Lord, if we're failing in that area. I pray that you'd help us to pick our companions and our friends wisely. I pray that you'd help the young people in this church to choose wise friends, and Lord, that they would not surround themselves with people that are ungodly and that are scorners. Pray that, Lord, we wouldn't fall into these types of traps, and help us, Lord, with our mouths. Lord, it's very clear from these passages that we have a lot of trouble with our mouths, and Lord, that we should learn to shut them sometimes instead of keep them running. Pray that you just bless us as we all go our separate ways, keep us safe on our way home, and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.